So we're going through the book of Corinthians, and we're in Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12 tonight. And we'll get through some of this. And it got cold all of a sudden. Whole nights are drawing in. These winter months are coming. But it's okay. Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 15, verse 12. It's okay because we know that the sun will shine again. And the reason why I say that is because many cultures in this world today, and the pagan cultures, they used to worship the sun and the moon. And what they would do, so the winter solstice is normally around about the 25th of November, December, so it's around that sort of time. And they would worship, if you like, because they knew that that was the shortest day of the year. And they would say that's when the sun dies. And it dies, but it's okay. It will live again. It will be resurrected, and then it gets longer and longer, and then it gets to the summer solstice when it gets shorter and shorter. A bit odd. But that's what old cultures... old people used to worship, pagan worship used to be that way. And then we're dealing with something tonight which is one of, if not the most importance to us. Last week it talked about the gospel, what the gospel is. The gospel is the life that Jesus came to earth, that he lived the life according to the scriptures, that he died according to the scriptures, that he was buried according to the scriptures, and that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. And then Paul would go on to say how many people see him and how many people was around at that time. And now he's going on to talk about the resurrection. Jesus living again. Do you know what happened at this point in history at time? That persecution come to the church. You had the every other religion around. You had the Roman Empire that was there, and they were persecuting the church. They wanted to kill Christians. A little bit later, they were starting to kill Christians. But then you had people that would come in amongst the church. They would call themselves Judaizers, and they would say, and then they would started twisting scripture. Yeah, you need Jesus, but you've also got to live on. You've also got to live up to the Old Testament at the same time. And they tried to corrupt, and Paul deals with that as he goes through the scriptures. But here, we see that these people, there were some of them that was worshippers of Christ, but they stopped believing in the resurrection of Christ, that he had died and rose again. And Paul deals with some of this. Now, verse 12, it says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how then do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if there Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty." So he's talking to the people here. He's talking to the Corinthian church that some didn't believe that Jesus was rose from death to life. They didn't believe it. So, what we have to understand is that the routine of our life, the routine, the things that we've seen that everything that has a beginning has an end. We see that every person that has lived in the past has also died. We know that it will come to us, that we live now, but we will breathe our last, we will die. But I have never seen anybody rise from the death. I've never seen that. I've never seen somebody rise from death to life. So these people, because they never see it, they said it was impossible to happen. Well, I want to tell you something. The first words of the Bible in the Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God." Now, if that's a true statement, if in the beginning, God, that makes everything else possible. If God is real, then everything else is possible. And I'm here to tell you that God is real. I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and put everything into place. That is, in the beginning God makes everything else fit. And then when he Paul is preaching to them, and he's saying to them, there are some among you that don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead to life. They believe that Jesus came to this earth, that he was a good man, he taught Jesus's, he taught the Bible, and he taught it in a better way, and he was a good teacher. But when he died, he got buried, and that was the end of it. There's a problem with that. If Jesus never rose from death to life, then he never conquered death. And if Jesus never conquered death, we're finished. We're finished. That means that when we die, we face the punishment of our sins in hell, and that is what death is. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that he has not been resurrected of the dead? Do you know, when you talk to people today and you talk to them about this, and they say, well, the Bible, you know, it's history, or it's a made-up book. Who wrote the Bible? Where is it at? Oh, well, the Bible says that Jesus rose from death to life. That's why you believe it. How was it really real? How did it really happen? Was it really true? I want to tell you something. We now have over 15 historical writers to say that Jesus was a real person. We know that Jesus is a real person. History proves that Jesus was a real person. There was nothing good about a cross. It was the emblem of suffering and shame. Nobody wanted to know about the cross. Anybody who got crucified at them days, it was a shameful thing. Yet in Israel, in one of the first churches, and even in the place in the tomb where Jesus was, rose from death to life, there is a cross. There's this cross on it. Even in the early churches, there is a symbol of cross. Well, a cross wouldn't mean nothing. You wouldn't have a crucifixion. You wouldn't have it. But Jesus, if you like, made the cross famous. Why would the cross be of importance? If Jesus died on that cross and then stayed dead, what importance was that? You have the early church and the early believers, but more than that, you have historical writers that wrote that Jesus was a real man that really did live. So if we can say that Jesus was a real man, then history proves that he really did live. Do you know that he really did die? And do you know that history proves that Jesus rose from death to life? Josephus writes about him. These are that Jesus who rose from death to life, and these are people that follow his way. Paul was a man who killed Christians. He killed Christians. And then Jesus appears to him. He sees Christ on the Damascus Road. And then when he sees Christ, he becomes a follower of Christ, to the point where he was kicked out of a place, stoned to death. I don't mean with drugs, I mean with big rocks that they threw stones at him. And they supposed him to be dead. So Paul is now a man who is willing to face death for believing in what? That Jesus never really rose, that he never really see him, that he never really... And I said this last week. Nobody in here would die for a lie. Nobody. You'd have to be a crank to die for a lie. An idiot. A fool to believe in a lie and then be willing to put your life on that lie and die for it. Paul was a man who killed Christians, become a Christian, willing to die for being a Christian. Same happened in Paul's life. What was it? He see the risen Saviour. He see Jesus Christ who was dead and now alive. And when they talk about it, there's over 500 people that see it. He's talking about that Jesus Christ was really dead, but really, really did raise from death to life. When the first mention of love in the Bible, who knows where that's at? First mention of love in the Bible. Got it. Nearly. No. I ain't doing that. This is about your job. The first mention of love in the Bible. Come on. Johnny's just good with that. No, it is in Genesis. It was Abraham. Take your son whom you lovest. Take him. And it was the story of Abraham taking Isaac to be sacrificed. That was the picture. And the picture is that Abram believed in his own heart that his son was going to die. And it took 3 days for that journey to take place. He believed that his son was dead because God had told him, I want you to take your son, I want you to sacrifice him. And even to the point when his son said to him, Father, where is the sacrifice? He said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. And then when he got there, the angel who stopped Abraham from killing his son. And then there was a ram caught in the thicket, and that was the picture. But Abram believed that his son was to be killed. But on that third day when he gets to that place and his son was brought back to life to him, Abram believed that his son was going to come back to life anyway, because it was the promises of God. There was a picture all through the Word of God, the Scriptures, that proved that Jesus did rise from the death to life. History proves that there was a real man called Jesus. History proves that this Jesus died. And history proves that Jesus rose from death to life. History proves it. Forget the Bible. We have historic writing that proves that's right. Down here you've got a place called Leeds Castle. Leeds Castle was made famous because King Henry VIII sent one of his wives there to live. King Henry VIII sent one of his wife. Who's ever King Henry VIII? Who knows him? History knows, history proves that King Henry VIII was a real man. History proves that. We have right books that wrote about King Henry VIII, and we don't question that. We say that King Henry VIII was a real man. We've got evidence of it. We've got proof of it. We got proof that Jesus was real. We got proof that he really did die, and we've got evidence to prove that he rose from death to life. And it's not just the Bible, but the Bible is the inspired word of God, which we take our stand on. But Jesus really did do this. And Paul is saying to this church, if Jesus never rose from death to life, then what is the point of you preaching the gospel? What is the point of you believing? What's the point of it all? If Jesus is dead, then why even go on living the way that you're living? Don't live for Christianity. Go and party, because it don't make no difference. When you die, there's a terrible time coming. And he's saying, if our faith, if we don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then our faith is empty. It's completely empty. Verse 15, he says, yes, and we have found, we have, verse 15, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, which means meaningless, nothing. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, that we are of all men most pitiful. Paul writes this in a sense with a broken heart, to say there are some amongst you that are going around the church who don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And what you're preaching and what you're doing is doing harm. It's breaking people's... what's the point of even being a Christian? If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, what's the point of being a Christian? If you don't believe that he rose from death to life, what's the point? He's saying your faith is empty. It's all meaningless. It means nothing. It's futile. It means it's worthless. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from death to life, then it's meaningless you being a Christian. Then also, he's saying that we are, if we don't believe that Jesus Christ, if God didn't raise Christ from the dead, then we are above most men to be pitied, because we believe in something that's a lie. If Christ didn't rise from death to life, then we are to be pitied by every religion in the world, because we believe in something that's not true. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, brothers and sisters, we've got to be careful of false doctrines coming into churches. That's why I believe that God does put shepherds. He brings pastors in, so that we understand the word of God and that we teach what's true. At this time, these people, there were some amongst them that didn't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is the most importance, that of the most importance. if this is, he's saying in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if we of all men are most to be pitiful, our hope is in Christ and the works of Christ and what Christ done. My hope ain't in me. I cannot get myself to heaven. I'm not getting there. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. But it's because of the work that Jesus Christ did that makes me good enough to go to heaven. Because when God looks at me, he doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. Because I put my faith in that cross at Calvary. I put my faith in that tomb. I put my faith in when he rose from death to life. And then he said, though all those that believe in me will not perish but have eternal life. That's where I put my faith. This is the truth in the word of God. And if you're in this place and you don't believe that Jesus Christ ever lived, and you don't believe that Jesus Christ ever died, and you don't believe that Jesus Christ ever rose from death to life, you amongst all men must be pitied. Because you're believing a lie. The truth is the word of God. He's saying now in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of all those that have fallen asleep. Now, Paul is giving the understanding here. He's saying, but Christ has risen from the dead. Paul could testify to that because he's seen. He could see him. He had seen him. And he said, because Christ rose from the dead, that means he will be the first fruits. That means the first person, the first one to do it. Because Christ was the first to do it, he made a way. He made a way for us all. And I'm going to read on. It says, for since by one man came death, by men also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now think about that. What the mission of Christ was. What the mission of God was here with Christ. Because of Adam, and Adam sinned. Because Adam sinned, we all sinned. Because of Adam's sin, he brought sin into the world. We all sin. We were brought up in that way, in this world, with a fallen nature. And because of Adam's sin, we all sin. Just as Adam brought sin into the world, one man brought sin into the world. One man had to take that away. One man it's talked about. When you read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it talks about just as Adam was the first, he brought sin into the world, Christ took it. And here he is saying that Christ is their first fruits. Because of Adam, we all die. Because of Christ, we can all live. And I want to tell you something. There's a difference here. If you're living a sinful life with no fault of Christ, then you're under Adam. If you're living a life where you put right what's wrong and try to live a righteous and holy life, you're living under Christ. There's a difference here. Are you the way that you live would make you understand whether you're living under Adam or under Christ. Whether you're living under sin or under Christ. The Bible says that the old is gone. We're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The old was Adam. Adam's life. Because of sin, we all sin. And then because of Christ, we all live under Christ. He was the first fruits. He meant that because he was the first to do it and made the way, he made the way for all of us. And if Christ never conquered death, think about what Christ conquered. It wasn't just death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. So because of sin, death come. Because of Adam's sin, when he took from that tree, and it was known that sin come into the world. And because of that sin, because of that brought death. But because Adam brought death to the world, Christ brought life to the world. Well, he not only conquered death, he not only conquered sin, he conquered the punishment of death, he conquered the punishment of sin. That is why we can say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? For me, to die is gain. I go home to be with the Lord. The Bible says we don't hope like other people. Do you know, if you've lost a loved one that knows the Lord, you haven't lost them, they've been found. And we look at death in such a human perspective. When someone dies, We look at it and that we mourn, and yes, we should, we will mourn. But I want to tell you something, from God's perspective, death is the only door that you can enter in to go to be where he is. So from God's perspective, he's saying, come home. From our perspective, we're saying, oh, we miss him. I just want to tell you something. We all have to die to go to heaven. Not unless we're here until the rapture. But we all have to, if we want to go to heaven, we're going to one day breathe our last. And I want to tell you something. Don't mourn for me. Rejoice, because I'm going out to be with the Lord. I want to rejoice for my brothers and sisters. I want to tell you something. We need to rejoice in that. To say, look, this is because Christ has conquered death. I can too. That's where I put my hope, my faith, my trust. Because Christ rose from the dead, one day I will too. How good's that? We understand that this is... So, if you act to... My problem is I'm not a really good preacher of the gospel. Joe's is 20 times better than me preaching the gospel. My understanding of getting the gospel, I want to teach the gospel message. I want to teach it. My brain won't unlock me trying to make sense of Jesus died for you. I want to tell you why Jesus. Well, Jesus died for the punishment of your sin. Well, I want to explain it from Adam all the way through. But this is what Paul does here. He explains the reasons why. He explains the gospel. Why did Jesus come? Because Adam sinned. They were because he sinned. It brought death to everyone. When Christ comes, he can bring life to everyone. We don't have to live under that old way. We are new creations. We can say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. This is the teaching of the gospel. This is the reasons why. This is what the gospel message is. Adam sinned, we all died. Christ lives, we all live. Verse 22, as for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one of you in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, when he puts an end to all the rules and all the authorities and all the powers. For he must reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. Then the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evidence that he made, that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. He was saying here what Jesus conquered. He conquered death. He conquered everything, every enemy, everything that would set up itself against God. Everything, the devil, everything that come, he set everything that put itself up against God, he conquered it all. When Jesus spoke to the enemy in Matthew 4, he overcome, he conquered. When Jesus, everything that Jesus done on the cross, he conquered. When Jesus died on the cross and went into that place and he rose from death to life, he conquered it all. He conquered everything, everything that was there, all sin, all death, all destruction, anything that would become an enemy to God, God placed it under his feet because Jesus' sacrifice was acceptable. He lived a sinless life. That means he never sinned, not once. He was the perfect lamb. I just want to tell you something. When we get to heaven, we're going to see that perfect lamb. And what are the only man-made things in heaven? Come on. What are the only man-made things in heaven? Will be the scars on Jesus. They will be the only man-made things there. I want to tell you something. We will see the lamb that is slain, the lamb that has conquered all. And everything is going to be subject to God. Everything. Everything is subject to Jesus Christ. Everything is put under him because he conquered it. Now when Paul writes this, he's talking to the church, he gives them the gospel, he tells them what the first meaning is. He tells them about the resurrection, that Jesus rose from death to life. He tells them that because there are people there that are convincing them that Jesus was Christ, wasn't really real, he never really died, he never really done that. And then when he comes to this point, he makes this point and he says, Jesus has died. He has rose again. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he rose from death to life, I can rise from death to life. And because God has classed it that he has been acceptable, a acceptable sacrifice, everything that Jesus Christ did, he conquered. He conquered death, he conquered sin, he conquered the enemy, he conquered everything. And everything is placed under him. I want to thank God for Jesus. I thank God that I can call Jesus my brother. I thank God that I can call him my saviour. I thank you, God, that his price, what Jesus did, wasn't for himself. It wasn't, but it was for me and you. And what Jesus did that day when he rose from death to life, he conquered death for me and for you. I want to thank God for that, that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Nothing will ever prosper that comes against us. And as a church at the minute, we seem to be going through a lot. And I want to tell you something, we just got hold on in there. Because Jesus has conquered it all. He has conquered it all. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation, I want to put your faith and trust in the Lord because he's conquered it. He's conquered it all. Do you know, everything, every sickness has to be put under the feet of Jesus. Everything. One day we're going to see Jesus return. Whether we come back with him in the clouds or we get caught up with him in the clouds, whether we are in the rapture of the church or we're already with him, whatever takes place, we're going to be with Jesus. And that is going to be forever. And we're going to understand what he conquered. We're going to understand that. We got a glimpse of it here. But there we will understand truly what took place. I want to thank God for Jesus. I want to thank him that he died and that he rose again. And I'll tell you something, the evidence of this is you. The evidence that Jesus rose from death to life is your ear. Your ear. You might not never seen the cross. You might never seen Jesus die. You might not never seen him rise from death to life. But you felt it. You knew there was something true about when you heard the gospel for that first time. You knew that there was a truth behind it. You knew the way that you was living is no good, but the way that Christ is. You knew it. Because Jesus Christ rose from death to life, we can prove it through history. But much more better than that, I can prove it because my heart tells me that Jesus is alive and well. And when I pray, he answers. When I seek his face, he is there.